Sandy Beach, November 10th.
Okay. So when we decided that I was going to end this year, I really... What?
Oh, did you turn off the mic?
It's on.
Okay.
Hey, don't interrupt the prophet. Okay. Okay, ladies. We're not going to get serious anytime tonight. So, here we go. So when I was asked to end the year, I really had felt when I did my testimony last year that it was really more about what I needed for me, the level of healing that I needed to finish something. And so that's why, I mean, we did it on Pentecost. We did it 7 o'clock at night. I mean, the whole thing was the beginning of the whole holiday and the whole thing. So there was something really key that God wanted to do in me. And hopefully any of you who listened or were a part of that story got something out of it as well. So this is just about the glory stories. This is the fun stuff that's happened the last 15 years. Woo! So let's go and walk with the Lord and see what is possible when you say yes. Ooh. Okay. I'm just going to give a brief rapid fire early life so that if anybody just listening to this won't wonder who in the world I am. So in 1945, I was born in Orlando. My dad was in the military, and when I was 6 weeks old, my mom got us on the train and we went to Elmira, New York, which is where I grew up. I got married in I'm the oldest of five kids. There are four girls and a boy. In 1965, I married my husband, Fred. He was a Marine, and we moved immediately to Hawaii, where our daughter was born. Christine was born in 1967. Fred was going to Vietnam, so Christine and I moved back to New York while he was there. And then in the successive years from 1970 on, we moved around a lot. So we ended up in Virginia the first time in 1978. I became a Christian in 1979, even though I had been in the church my entire life. One day I realized that I was not saved and I was in serious trouble. I went, first of all, I was very upset because I had been in the church all my life and I just didn't get it. I didn't get it from me. You can't be in the church all your life and not accept Jesus as your personal Savior, period. It doesn't work. Good people don't go to heaven. So that's my... one of the things I was learning in the women's Bible study was the Lord will give you the desires of your heart if you will only ask believing. And the desire of my heart was to have a son. And so I couldn't have any more children after Christine. And so I prayed to conceive a son the same way Hannah did for Samuel, only I didn't know the story yet. So 3 months later, I was pregnant for my son, Matthew. There's 13 years between my kids. He lives in Virginia Beach. And so sorry. I promised myself I wasn't going to do this. So 2002, I moved back to Virginia from Florida. In 98, we moved down here. Oh, I missed the, okay. So anyway, we moved down here to Florida after Matthew graduated from high school. But Fred and I had a great marriage for a lot of years. But at the end, it was really horrible. And so he was really verbally abusive. And so after 36 years of marriage, I got a divorce. It was the hardest thing that I've ever had to do because I still loved him. But I could not take I just couldn't take it anymore. So anyway, in 2002, God brought me back to Virginia for the first time. And that's where I started the healing process that brings me here today.
Praise the Lord.
I spent 4 years in intensive inner healing and generational deliverance and the whole gamut of healing therapies available to me at the time. And so you can come up and see this later. I've got the little table. So during the healing process, one time, God asked me if I would give him the keys to my heart so that he could open all the broken places and fill them with him and healing. So this very first key here, you can look at it later, actually has a little pink heart on it, and that is to signify the very first time I told God yes. So in 2006, I was in my quiet time, and I said, "Lord, what is my assignment today?" And he said, "I want you to take a bag to work, clean out your desk, and give a 2-week notice." And I went, "Okay, what else?" what else? That was it. So I did exactly what he said, and the next morning I couldn't wait to get up and say, "Okay, Lord, what is after this?" So the next day he said, "Get a 5x5 storage unit, give away everything you have except what will fit in that unit and your car, and I want you to trust me with the rest of your life. Trust me to take care of you, trust me to open doors, trust me, trust me, trust me." And so I said, "Okay, let's do this," because I had no other plan. I had no job at that point, and my lease was up in my apartment, so obviously I was going to have to do something. And so it was a 2 or 3 years in there that were pretty challenging because I really didn't know where I was going. I was in the car not knowing where I would be the next time, and there were tons of things that happened in there which we aren't going to go into because it's too long, so... But in 2007, the Lord asked me to become a licensed minister, which was never on my agenda ever to be officially a minister anywhere. But he asked me to do it, so I did it. And then he said, I want you to start your ministry. And I went, "Okay, what is it?" I still don't know to this day because every once in a while it changes and changes and becomes something different. So I really don't even know today what it is. But the name of it is From Despair to Destiny, and you'll see the logo is someone coming, a key unlocking someone's heart and them coming out free. Mm-hmm. And that's me. That is my... That is who I am. I let God open all the doors in my heart and heal me, and I came out in freedom. So I really suggest if you want healing, just say yes. In 2009, I heard about a missions trip. And so I was hearing this. The name of the head of the ministry is Gary Oates. And some of you, if you were here earlier on years ago, he actually did come to Church on the Rock. I think it was New Covenant back then, but he came. And so I heard about him through the 700 Club and through Gordon Robertson. And so when I was hearing him talk about the trip, I went, "No, that's not me. I don't want to go to Colombia. I don't want to go south of the border. I don't want to go. Thank you anyway." But the more he talked about this, the more my spirit says, "Oh yeah, you're going. I'm sorry. You are going on this trip. Just get a grip." I said, "Okay, Lord. I know that if I'm supposed to go on this trip, I at least have to apply." I went online and I applied and I said, "See, I won't have to go on this trip because they're not going to accept me because they're really picky." Well, they are really picky, and I ended up the next day getting confirmation I'm going on this trip, and I went, "Oh no, now I have to go." But ladies, but here it is, lady. Here it is. The trip was 5 weeks away. I only had 5 weeks to get ready for this trip. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I mean, they send you stuff, but they send you they send you irrelevant stuff. I mean, it was, they don't send girl stuff. You know, they don't. Anyway, so. but sovereignly, God paid for the trip, which he has done many times on trips that I've taken. And he has so incredibly blessed me that that I would be here the next 2 weeks telling you just everything, that every door he opened and everything. It just would take too long. So let me, I went on this trip, and Gary Oakes, when he travels with a lot of angels. So I knew that we were going to be with a lot of angels. And I want to tell you some stories about some healing that he did, and then I want to show you a picture. I have not seen this picture blown up here on a screen bigger than my little laptop. So I don't know what we're going to see. So be ready, put your seatbelt on, because I don't know what we're going to see. I'm going to tell you some stories about some healing. So one of our assignments was to take toys and things for, we were going to go to three orphanages. Now, an orphanage in Colombia is not an orphanage. These children live at this place with their single mothers. Most of them don't even know who the fathers of their babies are, but they have a place to stay. It's just called an orphanage. So one of the ladies on our trip went to the Harley-Davidson store, and because they have these cute little bears with a little vest and Harley-Davidson. And so she just said, we're going on this trip, and could you give us some bears to take, because I need something to take. And so he gave her 26 bears. So we get to the first place, and there are more than 26 children. She comes to us, and she says, I don't have enough bears. I can't give them out. And I went, I was standing there, I'm thinking, well, let's just pray. God had you bring these bears. You have to give them somewhere. And this is only the first orphanage now. This is going to be more than 100 children that are going to need these bears. So I said, well, you give one, you got to give them all. We prayed. She started pulling out the bears. Every child at that orphanage got a bear. Woo! And she still had bears in there.
Yeah.
And she continued for three orphanages and had the one bear left over to keep as a reminder that God multiplies. When you are obedient to say yes, he will provide everything that you need. So two nights during the time, we were in two cities. We were in Rio Hacha, Colombia, and we flew into Bogota. Obviously, you kind of almost all just have to go there first. And so our plane, and we stayed overnight the first night, so it's like dark out when we come in, and it's like you're going down these streets, and it's just like bizarre. So we fly into Rio Hacha the next day. And at the airport are all these military men with all these machine guns, and we're going, okay, God, you are really funny, because this is my first mission trip. Are you insane? Okay, so we ministered in all the small churches there. We ministered to the leadership. We did training. We prayed for people. And God was just healing people everywhere. So let me just... let me just share too. So, one of the nights, I think it probably was the first night, because she brought her whole family back the next night so we can pray for everybody. This woman came up. She was holding this little boy, 3 years old, and he had leg braces on, and he was strapped here with leg braces, metal braces. He had never been able to walk. When he was 6 months old, he was in like a infant seat or something, and he fell off the table and ruined his chances of ever physically, because like I said, they don't have really good medical care. I haven't got that far yet, but anyway, they don't have Medicaid, they don't have good medical care. Probably even now they don't have it. So she said, would you pray for my son? And I said, absolutely. Now, There are eight of us only in the city square, and there are at least 5,000 people wanting prayer. So you're already squished up against the stage, and we have our interpreters. Everybody has one. And so she tells us what she needs, and I said, okay. So all I did was put my hands on his chest and on his back, and you could almost see the electricity going through my hands to heal this baby. So after a couple minutes, we said, just put him down and let him start walking with the braces on first. So she walked him across, because he couldn't walk. He couldn't walk even with the braces without help. So he walked over to us, and things were looking a little better. We walked back over, and I said to her, can you take the braces off? Let's see if, you know, because I knew something had happened. So then she took the braces off. She took his hand. She walked him over to us. She walked him back, and I said, have him walk to us by himself. That baby walked to us, walked back to his mother, and then he ran to us, ran to his mother, and the whole place was in hysteria. So she brought her whole family back the next night so we could pray for him. So, one other story, and then I want to show you this picture of my... So there was a man there who came with a chaplain of the maximum security prison, which we also got to go in. And they don't have maximum security there like we do. They're not locked up. They're in little groups around, and you're walking through these murderers and rapists and everything through this whole thing. I won't go into that story, but that was, anyway. So the chaplain was from that prison. He brought somebody that he knew, this man, who had been in a car accident 20 years before. And he was crippled in every way. He was bent over. Every part of his body was contortion. It was horrible. He had been in pain for 20 years. He had gone to the emergency room first, but they couldn't do anything with him. By the time they looked at him, all of his bones had been set in this bad place. So they couldn't do anything with him except break all the bones again, and they decided they weren't going to do that. So he brought him, and I said, okay, you're going to have to put your hands on this man because he's a man and I'm a woman and we don't do that. So I said, okay, put your hand on his back. And somebody else that was there, another man, maybe one of our interpreters, put his hand on his front, and I put my hands, and before I could touch this guy, you could already see the electricity coming off into his body. I kept praying and kept praying and kept praying, and within 15 minutes, the man was completely healed. No pain, stood every single bone. You could hear the bones realigning. You could hear it all. God was restoring that man's body. In 15 minutes, he was completely healed. So I'm going to show you this picture. Now, I'm going to preface this picture to tell you what it is. When we were in the square in Riohacha, it was a completely overcast night. Not a star was in the sky. The moon was gone. We didn't see any of it. It was completely black. What you're going to see is a digital camera took pictures of the angels that were ministering with us in the square, and I hope it's as wonderful as I am. Every single light is an angel. The only thing, this is the top of a building, and this is not the only camera that got this picture. Everybody that took digital pictures that night got the same thing. It is not a mistake. It is not, this is, I mean, you couldn't even begin to count them. You could not even begin to count them. It was so powerful, the angelic maybe later we'll put it back up and you can come and see some of the detail and some of the, the angelic presence in that whole mission trip was absolutely astounding. There's no way. It's otherworldly. There's no way to explain it. When you walk with tens of thousands of angels, you know they're there, even if you can't see them. You know that they're there. And that missions trip wrecked me forever, because I laid hands on people and they were healed. God gave us words of knowledge. He gave it was the most incredible experience. I just can't even explain. So, how can you not say yes after that? So in 2010, I spent the summer in Romania. Our missionaries from the church I was in Virginia lived there, obviously, and so I went for 2 months in 2010, and it was another interesting experience. We got to speak in a lot of churches. We got to spend a lot of time in a lot of churches, but they were remote churches out in the country. Now, Romania is still, even after all these years, it probably still does not have inside plumbing. So for somebody, and I will tell you that I always tell people that my idea of roughing it is the Holiday Inn. And when you have to use an outhouse to go to the bathroom, there's a whole different story that
yes,
happens there. Seriously,
yeah.
I will just tell you. The Romanian people are wonderful. They are just so open and friendly, and the kids it was just amazing. They had two summer camps, and there were like about 400 total kids, and we got to bless all of them, and I spoke a blessing over the Romanian children, and we did a youth camp, and we were able to minister to them, speak a blessing over the youth of Romania. It was incredible. I loved the Romanian people. I did not necessarily love the conditions, but the house that I was in thankfully had indoor plumbing, and I was okay, because I would have not gone probably. So I have a really gross story that goes with this. So I have to tell it. I have to tell one gross story. Anyway, we were going to be going a long way one day. We were going to leave at 6 in the morning, and we were going down the whole Danube River, down to another whole place, another city. I don't know. Can't remember where we went. And we left at 6 in the morning, and we did not get home until midnight that night. And I did not go to the bathroom one time all day long. I'm serious. We had no, there were no, my body wouldn't allow me to even, my body would not even allow me to do it. And she'll tell you, on the train, it was
she
so bad.
On the Amtrak train either, because it had a little
my body would not, I'm sorry, it just,
wow.
There was just something about it.
So I prayed for
your
sister
while
you go to the
oh, anyway, yeah, so that was fun. I lost my place. I threw that story in there just as an extra, so I lost where I was. Okay, so in 2012, I moved back to Virginia again. This is like about the fourth time already. Just back and forth. I-95 is my it is my path. It is the thing that got up between Virginia and Florida, living in North Carolina and Georgia, but Virginia and Florida. This has been my path since 2006. So. Okay, so in 2015, I need to tell you about Christine before we get there. So my daughter Christine waited her entire life until she was 44 years old in 2010 to get married. She had my grandson, Elijah, when she was 47. But in early 2015, she was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And so she called and asked me if I would come down. That's how I know Patty. She was friends with Paul and Christine. Dear friend, precious friend, love her dearly. So she, Christine called and asked me if I would come and help her, and I did. Now, I have prayed for every imaginable disease, every imaginable thing, and I've seen people healed everywhere around the world, okay? So I knew when I came down, I was going to pray for Christine. She was going to get out of that bed, and we were going to go on. She was going to have a testimony. It was going to be wonderful, and I was excited. I came down, and unfortunately, in November of 2015, she passed away from stage 4 breast cancer, and my grandson was only 15 months old. So I went, Lord, you know that my yes will still be yes. But I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. I need to understand something. I can pray for all these other people. Why can't I pray for my daughter and see the same results? It was really tough for me for a few weeks. One day, when I was not even asking him, he just simply said, Christine saw a glimpse of heaven, and she didn't want to stay here. I wouldn't have wanted her to stay here in the pain and the excruciating. When she passed away, she was only 85 pounds. And so I wouldn't have wanted her to stay here that way. She didn't want a stranger raising her son, but she loved Jesus more than that. And so she went home to be with Jesus, and I stayed on and became part of Church on the Rock. Lori and her team came and prayed for Christine in the hospital at the house. They loved and supported us. That's how I'm here, because the Lord opened a door for Paul to find us somehow here. We still don't know exactly how that happened, except it was the Lord. I stayed on for 2 years and helped him with Elijah. Well, then Paul had gotten to the end of what he couldn't breathe in the house. It was just too much for him. So he decided to escape to Israel. He decided to go to Bible school in Jerusalem. And so in August of 17, they moved to Israel. And I went back to Virginia again to stay for a year to house sit. Well, then I was going to take advantage of them being in Israel so I could go to Israel and not be a tourist. I'm not a tourist, not now, not ever. I don't want to be part of a tour group. What we did was not a tour group. This was something completely different on the train. Be here at this time, do this, go here. No. No. So this was an opportunity for me to go and spend a couple weeks in Israel and see Israel the way that I wanted to see it. And so in September of 2019, I did go for 2 weeks. So I'm going to show you a couple pictures. I know right now it is a challenge for you to even think about going to Israel because you have to have a vaccination to go. But if you ever in the future have an opportunity to go, that's a trip that you need to make a sacrifice and go, because it's just amazing. So I'm going to show you two pictures. The first one the upper room. Yeah. Okay, so this is me. This is me here. And this is tour groups over here. Mm-hmm. Now this room, I wasn't with the tour group. I was all by myself.
Just around the tour group.
I stayed away from the tour group. However, you can still hear them. This is something where you're supposed to be super quiet, but the tour the tour leaders are not quiet. So anyway, I didn't want to be in any of that mess. There was at least three tours together up there. So anyway, I stood back here for almost a half an hour. And you can't really tell that because you can't see my face. But Jesus was holding me the whole time I was standing there. And he was downloading something, but I didn't know what it was. So I come back, and I asked Tony, for those of you who are part of Rock and have been a while, you know, we used to do our communion a different way. You'd have a little 10-minute teaching while the elements were delivered to the people. So they don't do that now because of the virus. But I came back, and I asked Tony if I could do one of the devotionals, and so he told me I could. And so I'm standing up there, and I stood up at the podium because I was like, as short as I am, I couldn't see anything. That's why I'm up here, not down there. So I'm standing there, and I am sharing what happened, and what I can't remember what even I said. And all of a sudden, you know, when you're least expecting the Lord to do something, that's exactly when he's going to do it. So I'm standing there, I'm just sharing, and all of a sudden, I'm back in the upper room with Jesus' arms around me, and he is revealing to me what he downloaded in the upper room. And what he downloaded was his love. His love. His love for the men that were in that room, but his love for us. His love for us. Oh my gosh, when you feel his love for you, you can't breathe. I mean, you really can't breathe. I don't know how I got through it. I don't even know what I said. I just got off of there as fast as I could and got to my seat. I don't know. Lori can probably tell you, or whether she even remembers. I don't know. I was a wreck. And what happened at that moment on that podium, God seared in my heart the calling on my life. My calling is to love his kids. Now, I knew it. I knew it. I do it. It's part of who I am. But there was something that happened at that moment that seared it forever in you. And I will never be the same. I will never be the same. It's totally amazing. So I have another picture. This is me standing. So this is where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. Now you can't go out there. You can't go out here where he would have done it. See, it's all covered here. So it won't erode anymore. But he would have been way up here. And I don't know how long I stood there, but it was 110 degrees in the shade, and I did not care because the ground and the atmosphere was full of the Sermon on the Mount. I felt every bit of it. Every shred of my being felt his words, heard it. My spirit was like all over the place. I couldn't move from that spot right there. I don't know how long it was, but I was like dripping wet and sweat, and I didn't care. Because I could hear my Lord. I could hear his words. I could feel his heart. Okay. So also in the year, I skipped my ordination. Lord wanted me to share this with you. So in 2017, God asked me to become an ordained minister. Well, that was even further down on my list of really wanting to do. But He was very specific. He wanted me to become an ordained minister in the healing ministry with Joan Hunter Ministries. And so that's what I did. And here's another thing. He put another small time frame. It was 4 weeks that I had to read 10 books, do 10 hours of study, take exams, and I don't remember what else was in there, fill out applications, get references, the whole nine yards. In 4 weeks, beginning to end, because that was the next ordination. I said to him when he said, okay, because he said it to me in March, and it was going to be at the end of April. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do the September class. He said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to do the April class. You're going to do it. So here's my little card that says that I'm official. I've always been official in his eyes, but he wanted me to make it really official. So this brings me to the fall of 2019, when I was not knowing. I was coming back from Israel, and I did not know where I was going to be staying. So I didn't know where I was going to be staying. So Lori talked to Ann Walsh. She knew that she had a garage apartment, and maybe they would have opportunity for me to rent it. So on November 1st, of 2019, I moved into Brian and Ann Walsh's house, thinking I had a wonderful, safe place to stay. It came completely furnished, good thing, because I didn't have anything to bring. But 2 months later, our precious Ann was diagnosed with stage 4 uterine cancer, and I went, oh my God, I know my assignment. So my mama, caregiver, intercessor, friend, laundry person, car, taxi, whatever they needed. Of course, most of you know Ann passed away in July of last year. So I said, Lord, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep praying for these girls. And then you just take them home. This is not fair. This is not fair. It's not okay. But I'm still there in that apartment. But here's the caveat to that. The Lord never leaves me anywhere longer than 2 years, and I've already gone past my 2-year anniversary, so I don't know what that means, but a year ago, God said he was going to bring me back, that he was bringing me back to the state of my birth. I was born in Orlando, and this is obviously Palm Bay, or I guess we're in Melbourne, wherever we are. I have another picture I want to show you. I want to show you a picture of my boys. This is the second reason why I do what I do. This is my son, Matthew. Do you have the other one of him? Yeah, this is my son, Matthew. I know. I know.
This is him. He's a giant.
He is him. Anyway, this is him. And he is a dear. I love him dearly, but he is my little prodigal, so, you know. Anyway, so this was in Daytona just a couple years ago. And then the other one is my other boys. Oh, and Paul, because he comes from Australia, decided to move back to Australia a year ago in January, right before the shutdown. And so here are my boys in Australia, Paul and Elijah, at a zoo holding a koala bear. This is my kids. Here's my kids, and they're not anywhere close to me, and so I'm here loving on you kids because I don't have anybody here except you precious women and all of the people in this church. So this is the end. I have something that I'm going to give each one of you, but I want to read this on the recorder before we turn it off. This is Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And this is from the Passion Translation. At the time my coming draws near, heaven's kingdom realm can be compared to 10 maidens who took their oil lamps and went outside to meet the bridegroom and his bride. 5 of them were foolish and ill-prepared, for they took no extra oil for their lamps. 5 of them were wise and sensible, for they took flasks of olive oil with their lamps. When the bridegroom didn't come when they expected, they all grew drowsy and fell asleep. Then suddenly, in the middle of the night, they were awakened by the shout, "Get up, the bridegroom is here. Come out and have an encounter with him." So all the girls got up and trimmed their lamps, but the foolish girls were running out of oil. So they said to the 5 wise ones, "Share your oil with us, because our lamps are going out." "We can't," they replied. "We don't have enough for all of us. You'll have to go and buy some for yourself." While the five girls were out buying oil, the bridegroom appeared. Those who were ready and waiting were escorted inside with him and the wedding party to enjoy the feast. And then the door was locked. Later, the foolish girls came, running up to the door and pleading, "Lord, Lord, let us come in." But he called back, "Go away. Do I know you? I can assure you, I don't even know you. This is the reason you should always stay awake and be alert, because you don't know the day or the hour when the bridegroom will appear." So the Lord had been speaking this scripture to me for months and months, and you know, every day he was giving me another inkling, another thing. It was just so impressed on my heart. And so I just had to have, I'm one of those people that needs to have something tangible. So I said, I need an oil lamp, even though I'm not going to put oil in it because I don't want it. So I got a lantern this tall. It's on my dining room table. But I said, you know, Lord, this is nice, but what about something small?
Aww.
So I have one for each of you.
Aww.
To remind you to always keep your oil lamp filled. Always be ready, in season, out of season, to be exactly who God has called you to be, because every woman in this room is created for a purpose. Every woman in this room is special, ordained by God to be a mighty woman of God. You are all precious. You are all unique. You are all wonderful. And so I have the printout for you. I have this for you. And I want to pray for each person individually. And so if you have to leave, I need to pray for you first. And I just want to say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.